Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve.
And I'm Dr. Van Beek.
Oh, see, we're getting better. We're getting before it was just, a little
I'm less ashamed of my doctor.
Less ashamed. You should not be ashamed of that wonderful doctor. Hey, we're back, folks.
From the University of South Africa, by the way, I should say.
Yes.
It is a theology degree from UNISA.
Yes.
Very good school.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not just because of its fine graduate.
Yes. The one graduate they had.
No, the many graduates they have, but also because of the quality teaching that you received while you were in that fine program.
Yes.
I have no capabilities whatsoever, but I'm glad Larry's learned. So, hey. Folks, we're back. We're better than ever. It's episode 9. We're going to talk about Revelation 8. And if last chapter was the interlude, this is the pause, the calm before the storm, and then we'll jump into the seven trumpets. But Larry, is there anything that you want to do to introduce this chapter as we go through it?
No, Steve, I think you can read those first four verses five, and we'll start talking about it.
Sweet. Okay. So folks, again, we're reading out of the ESV. It's Revelation 8. I'm going to start at verse 1, read through to verse 5 for this first little section. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. And then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. So wow, there, pretty interesting sort of vision that John has here. The first thing that stands out right away is that there's this silence in heaven for about a half hour.
Yeah, and most of us think, Steve, that because this is the seventh seal, right? Right. And you remember when we talked about the ending of the seals a few podcasts ago, we said that every one of them in some way seems to take us to the end of time. This is the weakest of those, if you're talking about the end of time. This points to it less than the seventh trumpet or the seventh bowl, but it's still a possibility. The other thing that people say is this is a dramatic pause for what he's doing, and it's heaven taking a breath. When God takes a breath and gets us all ready for the next thing, and the next thing is going to be an escalation of the events that are happening on the earth. You remember the first four seals were the four horses of the apocalypse, or the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And now we've got the four trumpets, and these four, and there's that pause getting ready for it. We get into verse number 2, and he sees seven angels standing before God holding these seven trumpets. And who these seven angels are, we don't know. They're actually seven angels mentioned in Tobit, which is an intertestamental book, and in the book of Enoch, which is what I did my doctorate on. And when I read this, I'd forgotten that he mentions the seven angels. But in Enoch, he talks about the angels before God being Uriel and Raphael and Michael. They're not the Ninja Turtles, by the way.
Yeah, which is, I went Ninja Turtle right away on that, by the way. It's complete.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they fight with sticks.
Domitello or...
Yeah, and they have a half shell, yeah.
And a pizza.
I would like a piece of pizza right now. And there's Raguel and Seraquel, Gabriel, and Remiel. And what they do notice with these angels is those are the ones that stand before God. When you were talking about... Well, we weren't talking about this at all, but when we're talking about the angels that are chained in Tartarus, when you're reading Jude or Peter... There's angels chained in the netherworld waiting for the final judgment. These angels are the angels of God that are in control, doing stuff. Michael is the one, of course, that you hear about all the time. And Gabriel is the other one that you hear about all the time. But these other angels are mentioned there. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. It interests me that they have those names and that some of the artists in the Middle Ages picked up those names as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are the angels, or there are seven angels. They may not be these angels, but there are seven angels holding on to these trumpets, getting ready to blow them.
Right, okay.
And then, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to jump ahead, so you keep going.
Okay. And then another angel comes along, and he has the... He stands at the altar with the golden censer. And as we just looked up to clear, a censer is a bowl that you burn incense in. It's not a pitcher, like I was thinking at first. Hmm. But and it's just an angel. And I do like this. There's a couple of times in Revelation where he says, yeah, I just had this angel come by and I got him to do this job. So he's not Michael or Gabriel or Uriel. He's not one of these major angels. He's just an angel.
Just another angel.
Yeah, and later on, when they throw Satan into the pit, it's just an angel. It's not Michael who does it. He gets anybody that's around can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I like very much.
Yeah.
And this is that too. So one of the angels, he comes along and he's given much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints before the golden altar, right?
So Larry, are these the same saints that we were talking about in the previous chapters, you know, all the saints who have been martyred, or are all the saints standing around the throne? What's the sense there?
We generally take it that these are the saints that were sitting under the throne crying out, "How long, O Lord,
okay,
until you avenge us?" And he says, just a little while longer, and then I'm going to avenge you. So is this the little while longer? We're not sure. But we're pretty sure that that their prayers are being heard, and God, and this vengeance is an answer to their prayers.
Ah,
yeah.
So when we read in 5, you know, he's taking that censer and then throwing it on the earth. That's the dispersion of his vengeance. Would that be the right way to put that?
Yeah, and very much John is saying your prayers are important.
Mm.
All these prayers that we pray that people think, you know, what happens to these prayers, you know? Like right. Garth Brooks says, thank God for unanswered prayers, because he ends up with the right girl instead of the wrong one. But but which is a great song, by the way, thank God for unanswered prayers. But this is a little deeper than that.
Yeah.
God is collecting all of the prayers of his people. And they don't go to waste. Your prayers are not wasted ever.
Yeah.
And they are being used by God. You know. Mm. You know, you might not be winning the lottery because that's what you prayed for, but you know, you might be a part of this.
Yeah.
So you know, we're joking around a bit, but there's churches suffering very intensely even today.
Yeah.
And they need to know that their prayers aren't wasted.
Right, right. And you get that sense of that the incense plus the prayers are something pleasing before God in some ways, right? Because we always have that imagery of God having incense before him, and that's pleasing to him.
Yeah, yeah, and through the Old Testament too, they would burn incense to God,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we used to always say the Greek gods were actually fed by this incense, and we would say, but our God, the God that we're serving here, talking about, he's not fed by the incense, but he's very pleased with it.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that the incense is the prayers, but it does sort of say that they're. You know, there's incense and prayers.
Right. I'm with you.
Yeah. So then he takes this censer filled with fire from the altar and he throws it on the earth. And then there's peals of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And you remember, Steve, what does the peals of thunder and rumblings refer to?
No, I don't remember.
Because I asked you one of the other podcasts, I thought, oh, this time he'll remember.
No, I don't.
I am so sorry.
I know we recorded some podcasts, but...
Peals of thunder, the rumblings, and the lightning, these refer to the presence of God.
Oh, right. Sorry.
These trumpets are directly from the presence of God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So whatever we do with the trumpets, that this whole experience is divine is very important, right?
Right.
That it's divine and it's coming from the prayers of the people of God. So now we're on to the seven trumpets.
Yeah. And is that kind of, that's interesting that you put it that way, because he throws it on the earth and there's peals of thunder and rumbling. It's almost, you know, this is God, again, re-expressing himself to the inhabitants of the earth too, right? So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And yeah, you've noticed he's done this several times already, and he's going to do it several more times before the end of the book.
Okay. And folks, honestly, I don't introduce something, let Larry talk, and then I shut my brain off. I do listen, but it doesn't mean I remember a blasted thing. Anyway, now, at verse 6.
I was trying to use you as that foil that they use.
Oh, yes.
You know, where they ask the elder, he says, well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of thing. So why did God do that? Well, you know, sir. except I'm not the smart sidekick. I'm the dumb Robin, not the smart Robin. Anyway,
carry on. We better keep going.
We're doing good. All right, folks. So again, now I'm going to pick this back up at verse 6, and then we'll read these trumpets one by one, and we'll do the first four this episode. And then we'll come back and do the last three in the next episode. Maybe add a few other things in. Who knows? Now the seven angels, who had the seven trumpets, prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood. And these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up. And a third of the trees was burned up. And all the green grass was burned up.
Right. So that's the very first trumpet.
Yep.
We're going to say this a lot in this book. We're not always certain what these images are, right? We have ideas, but lots of times we're not certain what the images are. We're kind of more certain about what John's getting at than the specifics. And I think people often get lost in Revelation when they're trying to make direct correlations between the symbols and things that could be happening. And it messes us up all the time, but we still do it, and we'll do it here today. So he blows his trumpet. There's hail and fire mixed with blood thrown upon the earth. We often say these are reminiscent of Moses and some of the things that were happening in Egypt. I don't think hail happened in Egypt, but the idea of the fire and the blood kind of works out fairly well with us. Is it something that's happening in the cosmos? Quite possibly. Yeah. Remember, later on, they're going to be hit with hailstones that are 100 pounds each. And so these kind of things are happening. What we know better is that it's a limited expression on the earth, and that the first four of these have an effect on mostly on the plants and animals and things on the earth. The last ones will be more specific to people, although wormwood is kind of with people. But this one burns up a third of the trees, and it burns up all the green grass, right?
Right.
Now, we've talked about this, Steve, that there is an issue here, is that in chapter 8, all the green grass is burned up, and then in chapter 9, they say to the locusts, do not harm the grass, right?
Right.
And the guys, there's two things that the people that are very literal will do. One, Leon Morris said, he said, well, we're talking about a third of the earth being burned. So the green grass that was burned up would have been just a third of the grass of the earth that burned up.
So right. Okay.
Being very literal, that's what you're looking at. I'm just looking at a cataclysmic event on the earth.
Okay.
Right. Yep. That kind of lines up with the horses. But the other thing they'll say is, well, all the green grass is burned up here, but grass grows back right away. And so when you get to chapter 9 and he says, don't harm the grass, you know, it's already grown back. So
right.
Not that big a deal. And we did talk about that before. We said, you know, and you know, after you burn the grass, it grows back really, really thick and nice.
That's right. Because we were talking about driving through a forest fire, how the grass, you know, pops up pretty quickly.
Well, yeah. And then the blueberries come too. If you've ever been through Sudbury,
right,
you know, they have tremendous blueberries there. So there are advantages to these judgments as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But the big thing we're saying, of course, is there's a cataclysmic thing happening on the earth. This one has to do with vegetation.
Yeah, yeah.
And second angel.
Yeah, cool. And I should dump back in case folks are curious too. There is a little bit of hail in the 10 plagues of Egypt too, but not a big deal.
Oh, thank you for picking that up.
No, I just thought I'd go look in it. So I went back and thought, and it's excellent.
Was there hail? And there was hail. Which plague was the hail?
Thunderstorm of hail, which is number 7.
Okay.
In the top 10 plagues of Egypt.
Yeah. Well, don't I look like a fool forgetting that?
So. No. It's not at all. Not at all. Not at all. So the second angel comes along in verse 8, folks. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Like, again, what an image too, really, right? Like, there's something like a great mountain just gets, you know, like a volcano on fire gets picked up and thrown. It's quite an image.
Oh yeah, it's an incredible image. Some would say that what we're talking about here is a volcano blowing up and having an incredible effect on, but that would be fairly localized too, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and turning the sea to blood has to do with the sea creatures dying, right?
Okay.
And that's the whole idea of the blood. And again, the blood can point back to Moses again, but, right. But in this case, it's affecting the oceans and the life in the oceans and a third of the ships. So pollution and things aren't going to affect a third of the ships necessarily.
That's right.
So there, the divine aspect of this kind of thing is very important. You know, now people could be looking at the oceans right now and saying, you know, you're talking about a third of the living creatures dying. If you look at where we're at, if you're watching any of the stuff online or, you know, on the History Channel, we've pretty much fished out the oceans according to these guys.
Right.
Like to the tune of 90%. Hmm. And whether that's right or wrong, and the amount of plastics in the oceans right now. So some people actually will say, you know, we could be actually in this right now.
Hmm.
With the amount of earth that we're destroying, and especially when we get to the next one, it's kind of intriguing that way. I don't believe that we're in the tribulation,
no.
You know, or anything like that. but look at the third trumpet here. Look what happened.
Sure. Let's do that right now. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood. And many people died from the water because it had been made bitter.
Yeah. And anybody, you know, well, so first of all, this star falls from heaven, and you do get lost in Revelation, don't you? Are these stars angels?
Yeah.
Is this an angel falling? Is that what he's referring to? Or is he referring to some kind of a meteorite shower or something like that? Right?
Right.
But maybe more important here is where the star falls and its name. So its name is Wormwood. And if you see C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters, the devil's little apprentice, his name was Wormwood.
Right.
So this is where Lewis gets his stuff. But the other thing about Wormwood is we know that Wormwood is it's vegetation, and it makes water bitter.
Mm.
But it's not poisonous. But this one is actually, he's referring to wormwood, and then he's talking about poisons.
Mm, mm.
And the poisons are on, this is fresh water. Remember, the other one was the ocean? Okay. Now we're talking about fresh water, and we're talking about many people dying because the water became bitter.
Yeah.
And you know what the biggest problem around the world right now is, Steve.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, it's the lack of fresh water, lack of clean water, you know, all those types of things, right?
Mm-hmm. There are many ministries that are raising money to build wells or to put in mm-hmm. reverse osmosis machines
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
into villages. There's, you know, the California is always crying that they, you know, there's so many people living there, they don't have water. You know, the people in BC are, you know, pouring water out in front of them and then going back to the tap and getting more.
But, yeah.
But and if you look at the biggest cause of death around the world, now I haven't looked at this in a while, so I don't know if I can still say it, but a very major cause of death, I can at least say that, is dysentery.
Mm, yeah.
People dying around the world of water-related diseases.
Yeah.
Because they can't get clean water. And so if you looked at the world today, you'd say, man, that does sound like what we're talking about here.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And again, I think this is the type of thing that's going to happen when anybody gets ready for any kind of apocalyptic events, I know they store bottled water.
Yeah,
isn't that the truth? A little while anyway. So,
No, no, that's fine. That's fine. I was about to change the topic because I noticed that the ESV does something interesting, and it could be inane, but I want to just at least ask about it. Is there any some particular reason why they decided to capitalize wormwood and then use it lowercase later on? Is that something that they're playing around with the translation layer?
No, I think it's just because in the first one, the name of the star is wormwood, so therefore it's capitalized because it's the name of the star.
Okay.
And the next time they're talking about it wormwood as a plant.
Yeah. As a flavor. Hey, it's a wormwood shake. Yay. That'd be nice.
Hmm. You might pick that up at McDonald's.
Yes.
After their green one they do for...
The Shamrock Shake. Oh. The Shamrock Shake. And followed up the wormwood one. Not quite as popular.
It's funny that the Harry Potter series didn't pick up on that.
What are their
every flavor beans?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Wormwood and a McRib. wow. Okay, cool. Thanks for that, Larry. Okay, so now, folks, we're at the fourth angel. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise, a third of the night.
Right, and this one we know cannot be literal. Just because a third of the sun can't be struck, and a third of the moon can't be struck, or a third of the stars. If a third of our sun was struck, we would cease to exist.
Yes.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we know that he's talking about cosmic events. There are cosmic events happening, but the third is, so there's a limitation to this, to the things that are happening in the cosmos. And there's so much talk about the cosmos these days, right? About, you know, there have been a lot of movies in the last 10 years about meteorites hitting the Earth and those kind of things happening. And, you know, with not so much with the sun, though, because you really can't do anything with the sun or you're done. But this is talking about the judgment of God and this idea of the sun. In other places, the sun turns red like blood, or the moon turns red like blood. This time it turns dark. And this third of the stars, we still think of it as cataclysmic events in the heavens. Though you could say a third of the angels that fell with Satan, that Jesus sees in the Gospels. I saw the angels coming with falling with Satan. And there's nothing really specific about a third of the angels falling with Satan, but there's been always that idea that was a possibility, and they became the demons, or there's something else. Like, nobody knows for sure what it's all about,
right?
But they pick up on that as well.
Right.
The big thing that's happening here are four things are happening on the earth. They're all a third. They're all limited, but they are happening, and God is avenging His people.
Yeah, I like how you put that point too. That it's a third, right? So it's a limited. It's not the full wrath of God being poured out. It's just part of His wrath being poured out.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and of course you're going to read, because this chapter has to fit in with the next chapter. You're going to read that people still didn't turn to God. So there is something salvific. Is that a word, salvific?
Let's brand it so.
I've heard it. You know.
Yeah, it's a word.
It's better than efforting, I think.
Yeah, it's way better than efforting. Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, so. There is a salvation aspect to even God's wrath being poured out. There's still a desire to see people come to God.
Yeah.
But you don't find that until the next chapter, and we're not going to get there until the next time.
Right. But yeah, good point. It's not complete annihilation. It's God still trying to save the people before casting them to a certain fate.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so it ends off here, and then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying. Eagle crying, let me say that with
clear. Eagle. I heard an eagle crying.
Yeah. Wow. I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth. And at the blast of the other trump, sorry, let me try this again. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. So it's almost like, hey, if you thought this was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. This is nothing compared to what's coming.
Yeah. And again, it reinforces that little partial pouring out of wrath, right?
Yeah. And remember, every one of these does that. They do the four, and then they do the two, and then the one. And and these, the next two are the two, they call them the three woes. Of course, the last woe is the end of time again, but there's two serious things coming upon the earth. Again, they're being brought by an eagle, a lone bird. We don't know what kind of eagle, but in the Greek, eagle and vulture, I think, are the same word.
Okay.
So some think that this might be a vulture coming to talk about the death that's coming. But he is preparing you for the three woes that are about to come upon the earth. And we're going to read about them in our next podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Where we can say the first woe is past and two more to come, right?
That two more to come. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Larry, that was awesome. I mean, it was awesome to see it from that perspective of limited wrath, but God still calling his people. It was awesome to see that, you know, this is the start of something big, and God is preparing himself. He's showing himself to the inhabitants of the earth again.
Yeah. And the only thing that messes us up is when we try to be really specific with these visions, like you just can't fit them. They don't fit perfectly. Unless you really work at it. I mean, there are people that have really worked at it and they think they can fit them all in. But in some ways, I think you're misunderstanding literature itself if you're trying to make everything, a technical completion. There's got to be room for symbolism. There's got to be room for emotion here. The big thing that comes out, of course, is the absolute control of God in this whole process.
Well, that was awesome. Folks, again, thanks so much for joining us. Like we were just talking about before the podcast, if you have comments on what we're doing and you go to our site, you'll notice that there's a little leave a comment link there. Go ahead and leave a comment. You just leave it with us and we'll actually review that and post it, just in case Russian trolls are posting on our blog. Who knows? It could happen. Probably not, but it could happen. But anyway.
Yeah, we no longer think that they're the bear that that are a bit you never know. Give them a chance.
That's right. That's right.
They may revive the bear.
That's right. That's right. Maybe we too could influence an election somewhere. Yep. some small country.
And as my friend Kim Baraluk would say, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention names on this.
Oh, too late.
The Cossacks were Ukrainian, they weren't Russian.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So cool, folks. Join us next time. We're gonna continue on through the three woes that are yet to come, and we'll talk through that. And until next time, we sure thank you for joining us this time. It's been great. See you then.